Hey, John.
I'm not John.
What?
I'm not John.
Oh.
Do you have something funny to say?
Well, I'm caught off guard now, so let's get into the episode. This is Stranger Still.
Not John.
What's your name?
Drew.
What happened to John?
Dude, I don't know.
Oh.
I'm just your brother and you told me to come over. I was like, cool, I will do that.
Well, welcome everyone to this week's Stranger Still, a show where we answer questions you never questioned to ask. It's kind of like we take your shower thoughts and try to answer them. Do you have shower thoughts?
Not really. I take like 2 minute long showers.
Oh. I take way too long showers because I always think too much.
The only thought I have in the shower is I hate taking showers. I want to get out of the shower.
Dude, it's just so relaxing, though.
No, it's not. I don't like standing in there.
I'm sorry to hear that. Well, John isn't here this week because he's got some personal stuff to take care of, so I thought I'd give him some time to focus on that. And instead, I brought in my brother.
Hey.
His name is Drew.
Yep.
And it's actually perfect because this week we are answering the question, are creative people more susceptible to depression? And that's something that we can both kind of speak to, which we'll get into here in a second. But I don't remember why I was thinking of this. I was just like walking through my hallway and I was thinking about like all of the creative types that have committed suicide, like Vincent Van Gogh
and Kurt Cobain,
supposedly.
What's her
Robin
name?
Robin Williams.
What's the weird
one? Amy Winehouse?
Yeah, Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
She was talented, I guess.
Yeah. Like Hunter S. Thompson, tons, like Sylvia Plath.
Well, it's also, there's the cursed age of 27, too, so I don't know if that has, like, some correlation, like, if it's, like, a weird,
I didn't look into that.
Weird. Yeah, man, like, Kurt Cobain was 27, Heath Ledger was 27, the dude from The Doors was 27.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Amy Winehouse was 27.
Jeez.
That's, like, a cursed age.
Yeah. That's weird.
I'm surprised you've never heard that.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to that stuff.
I'm always surprised when a celebrity makes it past 27.
Well, what about Robin Williams? He was like
57.
57. 27 times 3. And, well, I was thinking about these guys, and then I started thinking closer to home. I was thinking about me, because I've been on medication for depression for like 6 years, probably.
You're still on it?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm still on it, and I will probably always be on it.
I took meds for like 6 hours. I was like, dude, I'm not doing this.
That's just your personality type, though. Because you, yeah. I mean, this is some, I started thinking about you, too, because you get seasonal depression a lot. And you have OCD, which causes a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, I got like the package deal.
Yeah.
Like the depression package deal, because I got the OCD, depression, hypochondria, which is essentially the same thing as OCD, and then
anxiety.
Yeah.
Can we, real fast, do you get offended when people are like, oh, my OCD was kicking in today? Do you get upset
no,
when people say that?
No, you literally can't get offended because everybody says it.
It isn't always me on behalf of you, because it's actually OCPD, obsessive person.
I can't remember what the thing was. I've only said something like one time to somebody. They did like this. It was like a test on Facebook. It was like, how OCD are you? And it was like these
like
questions that literally aren't OCD.
Yeah.
And I wrote on there, I was like, I'm not mad, dude, but that's not OCD.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even remember what it was. It was something like,
do you like your things in order?
Do you have to have your temperature set the right way at your house? It's like, that's not really how it works.
Yeah. It's OCD is more ritual based and anxiety, whereas what everyone else is talking about is OCPD, which has like none of those rituals.
I've never even heard of OCPD, and I've had OCD for
it's
like
a newer
20
thing.
Years.
Yeah, it's a newer thing. I think it's obsessive compulsive personality disorder. So it's a personality thing. It's not like a
so it's like
lifestyle changing
ADD
way.
Versus ADHD. I have that too, which is really fun.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Let me get your thoughts. Do you think creative people are more linked to depression?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think we've said this on the episode yet, but you are involved in a lot of creative things. You're in bands.
Yeah, probably too many things, but they're all fun. Yeah.
You do photography, you make films, you make music videos. You're in a lot of these, so you're around a lot of creative people.
Yep.
Do you see it a lot with people?
Yeah, I had a conversation with a band. It was like a month ago. It was actually the band that we just did a music video for, but I was talking to those guys, and I can't remember how we got on the subject, but I said something like, yeah, it's like, it's really weird that I have anxiety, you know, because I'm the vocalist of a band. And
right.
Like, when I'm,
you're the front man.
Yeah. Like the one place I don't get anxious is on stage, which is weird because that's like the one thing that would probably freak out like most people.
Yeah.
And the guy, like literally every one of the guys in this band was like, dude, they're like, I definitely get that. They're like, I have the anxiety and the depression.
Yeah.
And they're like, it literally like all comes together. And this was like all four of them, not just one of them, you know,
yeah.
But they're all just like sitting there agreeing. And
it's weird. It is weird. And actually, as it turns out, there is a link between having a creative mind and being depressed. And first, I think we need to explore what causes depression, because my doctor told me that it was a chemical imbalance.
Well, yeah, it's probably I don't know what it is. Like with OCD, there's like something in a chemical in your brain that's being, I can't remember if there's too much of it or if it's being blocked. I think there's too much of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have the answer, right?
I don't have OCD, but depression is caused by a lot of different things. Some of it is a chemical imbalance. There's a lot more that goes into it. I'll get into a second, but depression can be caused by too much of a neurotransmitter in your brain or too little of it. The medication that I take gives me more of that neurotransmitter to relieve the depression. There's other things that it breaks down into, though. Genetics, just life events and circumstances.
Yeah, I was going to say life events is probably the biggest one.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with chemicals. Alongside of that, like how well your brain bounces back from stressful events, which also goes into like evolution and genetics. Seasonal changes.
Living in Iowa is perfect for that.
Yep, it messes up your circadian rhythm, which we talked about in the last episode. There's other medical issues that can affect your brain, like having a stroke or even one article mentioned erectile dysfunction because your life just isn't the way that you want it to be.
That would be terrible.
Yeah. You can have a lack of vitamin B12, stuff like that. And even some medications can cause depression.
So, like, depression meds?
Yeah. Like
I love that when you see that on the ad. May cause depression. It's like, that's why I'm taking it.
Yeah, may increase thoughts of suicide.
Yeah,
that
it's
sort
like,
of
thing.
So a lot of okay. A lot of that can be a chemical imbalance, but obviously a lot of those aren't tied to an imbalance. But there's long been this idea. I was looking through several articles, and there's been this idea for a really long time that creative people are more susceptible to depression. And it came with, like, old writers like Charles Dickens and... I don't know how.
Like the old school, like drinks a lot, smokes
yeah,
a lot,
yeah.
Kind of artist.
Absolutely. There wasn't a real way to prove it. It was all theories based on anecdotal evidence.
Yeah.
Just these high profile people committing suicide or, like I said, drinking or taking a lot of drugs, like Hunter S. Thompson. If you've seen.
Well, he did that to himself on purpose, though. Like, he like purposely made himself an addict. Like,
yeah.
Because that was how he made his money.
Yeah.
He just would get super high or drunk or whatever and start writing, and it was awesome stuff, but
well,
it was...
That's like Stephen King, too. Me and John were talking
anymore,
about that.
But...
Like, when he was writing It, he was basically drunk the entire time, and there was one book that he doesn't even remember writing.
I think he was, like, a big cocaine guy, too.
Yeah, he did a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, too, because he does not look... Or, like, when you look at the guy, you're like...
He looks
just
normal.
Looks kind of like he sits at his home and does nothing.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, the point is a lot of that was based on stories and not any facts. Until there was a guy by the name of Simon Kyaga from Sweden. And normally when I say Sweden, John does a Swedish person impression. So can you do that for me?
I don't even know how Swedish people sound.
We always just go, yeah, Sweden.
Yeah, Sweden.
Thank you.
Or like, where's Arnold Schwarzenegger from?
He's from Austria.
Austria. That's like the same.
That's a Woodism.
Give me my depression pills.
No. What are you waiting for?
Give me the pills now.
Oh, man. Don't get too Woods
in a
room.
Let's not start on that. We'll be doing that the rest of this podcast.
So, Simon Kyaga worked with a bunch of researchers, and he looked at 1.2 million Swedish people, or Swedes, and he was looking for any type of mental disorder. He was looking for, he was painting a broad stroke. He was looking for like ADHD, schizophrenia, general anxiety, any mental illness. Also say, I got this from a giant article on CNN.com. But in terms of depression, though, he found that in fields, in creative fields like dancers, photographers, and writers, they were 8% more likely to have bipolar disorder, which comes with a lot of depression and anxiety.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about bipolar.
Yeah, and then beyond some of those fields, writers were 121% more likely to have bipolar disorder.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and 50% more likely to commit suicide than any other general population.
Do they know why?
Yes. The when you're talking about stuff like ADHD and schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, a lot of that comes from genetics, like I mentioned before. And in fact, a psychiatrist by the name of Carrie Sibolis?
Syphilis?
Sibolis. It's S-Z-A-B-O-L-E-S.
Going Zabolin later.
They did a smaller study on 128 Hungarians. I don't know if you want to do a Hungarian accent, because I don't know what that sounds like. Always go back to Hungarian. They gave the study participants a creativity test, and by the end, they found that those that showed more creativity in the test also carried a gene for some sort of mental disorder. They didn't specify what type, but they had a mental illness of some sort. The last thing from this article that I want to point out is that one psychologist by the name of Scott Barry Kaufman suggests that people with a creative mind and certain mental illnesses have trouble filtering out extraneous or useless details. So it's like I was saying earlier, I can't tune anything out.
Yeah. I'm like the exact opposite of that.
Yeah.
I tune everything out. At least I got a good filter, talking. I guess.
Yeah. But some of us will tend to take all of it in, and our brain has to do something with it. And whether it's adding that as a detail to the story you're working on or painting it into this mural you're working on, whatever, your brain works to funnel it into your creativity.
I think I'm both. Is it possible to be both? Like, you're very good at shutting some things out, and then, like, other times when you're trying to go to bed, there's, like, a million things hitting you at once, and you can never sleep.
Well, that's the other thing. There's another article that talked about how a lot of people with anxiety or depression will just ruminate on thoughts for a really long time. Like, we'll just get into this bad loop. And this is what happened to me all the time when I wasn't on medication. And if I forget to take my medication for, like, one day, I start having those racing thoughts. Yeah. This one article says that there was a lady from Harvard named Shelley Carson that said when we start to get into that rumination, we get into this depressive slump. You're in this lull. It's hard to get out of that.
Yeah.
But Shelley goes on to say that your brain is really working to sort out these details, and it's suggested that it comes from an evolutionary aspect where you're playing these events back in your mind, so next time you can react to them better for survival purposes, which I think we all know, but unfortunately it leaves us in a lot of depression.
Yeah, but we're down in this like pit for so long, and then it's like once you get out of it, you are like, it's kind of like a never-ending cycle, because you come out of it, and then now you have a ton of stuff to do, get done, and you do it all, and then you're so burnt out from it because the beginning of that cycle.
It's funny that you say that, because that's exactly where Shelley goes with this, is that you're in that slump. And as soon as your brain works out all of those details, you come out of that slump. And she points out that a lot of people, not even just creative people, anyone that's in a slump caused by stress, comes out of it with this great motivation to do anything productive.
Yeah.
So some people might just funnel that into their work. The creative minds will probably funnel that into whatever they're
doing. My laundry.
Doing your laundry. Like, I always think back, like, when our cat died or when our grandpa died, I would always go draw something because that would help me cope with it. But it was also getting it out and getting out of that slump.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, but the thing that sucks is it's not like you don't just come out of it permanently. Yeah.
Well, a lot of the article went on to say that a lot of the creative minds stay in that lull for a lot longer than just normal people that don't have somewhere to funnel it. So when we swing out of it, the swing is much greater, but it also means that we have much farther to fall. So
I have this mental picture of us coming out of it just like, whee! Like a freaking roller coaster.
I was thinking like Batman in Dark Knight Rises when he comes out of the prison.
Oh my gosh, that's like way different views of that.
I don't know why I went there, but it was, I think it was the mental.
You come out of your, like, you come out of your depressive slump, and you're just like, I am Batman.
I was born in the shadows.
How do you feel, honey? Great.
I'm the hero the city deserves. But the other question I came across while researching this was that, does creativity cause depression because we ruminate on those thoughts more, we have more, we can't shut off the incoming stimulus, so we just, those thoughts bug us more, or are we creative because of depression? So is the depression, those depressive thoughts making us creative?
I don't know if they're like necessarily a cause of each other at all.
Yeah.
I think that, I don't know how to explain it.
The way that I compared it is like, it's like the chicken and the egg thing. Like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? In reality, it was two both different chickens coming together to make this egg of a different species. I don't know.
I got depression when I was like probably 16 or 17. I'm sure I had it before. I just maybe didn't know what I was going through or whatever. Yeah. But I was always really creative when I was a kid and even prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Well, I think that they feed into each other. And a lot of the depressive thoughts can go into something creative. Like, I think about Stephen King a lot because I'm reading it and it's 1,200 pages. So it's on my mind all the time.
That's long.
Yeah. But he didn't have a good childhood. And you can tell through the book that he didn't have a good childhood. So that depression caused by his bad childhood was funneled into this book. But on
that's a really depressing book, too.
It is. It's not.
I haven't read it all. I've seen the movie, but I can't remember if I like Wikipedia'd it or whatever.
I'm almost halfway through, and it's spooky. I was listening to it on an audiobook.
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
Is it better than the movie?
Yeah.
Isn't the movie really long too?
The movie is actually a two-parter because it was a made-for-TV movie. It's 3 hours long. The first hour and a half was the kid's side of the story, and then the second hour and a half was the adult side of the story.
Maybe that's why I've watched it, but I don't feel like I've ever seen it. And it's probably because I've always just watched part one.
Really?
Like, where's the rest of the movie? I don't know.
I really like it. I think it still holds up. They're making a remake, which I'm really excited for because it sounds like it's going to be really good. I think they're splitting that into two movies too. It's going to be like 4 hours worth of it.
It's a long time.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. It sounds really good. But on the flip side of things, like I said, when it comes to psychological stuff, your brain just can't filter some of those things out. So it's your creative mind based on that filter that makes you depressed. Yeah. So I think that they feed off of each other. It's not one way or the other.
I think I've always just like tried to keep myself busy because of dealing with it.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of like a double-edged sword, you know? It's like, well, I'm busy, so I'm not thinking about all these things. But then you start thinking about those things because you're so busy and you feel like you're like just getting buried or you're burying yourself. But
it's like when you eat spicy food and you just keep eating it because if you stop eating it, then you feel the spiciness.
So that's exactly what depression is like.
Yeah.
Spicy foods. Yeah. How you feel today, Drew? Pretty spicy.
Like a fiery Doritos Locos Tacos.
What is that? Is that from Taco Bell? Ugh. I don't do Taco Bell.
Really?
No. I do Taco John's.
I can't do Taco John's.
Dude, they got the best cheese ever.
I know, but every time I eat there, I get bubble gut.
Literally nothing makes me less sad than that cheese.
More
happy?
I think they're one and the same.
I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I don't either.
I just want to drink this Dr. Pepper.
Go for it. How was it? But we kind of blasted through that. Usually John's interrupting me more, so...
Well, I didn't think I was supposed to interrupt you.
No, you can interrupt me all you want.
Okay.
Do you want to recap
Nick,
for
Nick,
me?
Nick, oh, you recap.
That's not my job.
Oh, great. John!
What have we learned this episode?
That there's a lot more to depression than I realized.
Yeah.
I was just always like, well, I have it, and it sucks, and I'm going to deal with it, but I'm not taking any pills.
I want to talk about that. Here's a few more facts on depression that don't really relate to the creative part, but I think it's important to talk about. About 7% of Americans report suffering from depression, like chronic depression. So it's like 1 in 10 people. Women are more likely to suffer from depression, and the thought there is that there's no real reason, but the thought is that...
Well, except after they have a kid. Well, they know why that's there.
Yeah, the
postpartum depression.
I almost said postmortem. That's something else.
Oh, yeah, I got that postmortem depression.
Yeah. I don't blame you there. But there's the thought that the hormonal changes, like the swing of hormonal changes that come during puberty can bring on the onset of depression in women. Obviously, people in pretty much any group of minorities are more likely to suffer from depression, like I said, because of...
Why is that?
like the societal happenstance, just like life events and that sort of thing. And the interesting thing that I found is that creative career fields are number 7 on the CDC's occupational suicide list.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
What's number 1? The post office? What is number 1?
Number 1, I believe, was farmers and like lumberjacks.
Do you know them all? We should guess what they are.
Here, let's play a game. We'll go to top 10. How about that? Number 1, since I said what I think it is farm workers, fishermen, lumberjacks, agriculture. And
that is very strange.
Yeah, I read earlier that you'll find that a lot of these are because of economy swings. That it's just, it's hard to find reliable pay sometimes. Do you want to guess what number 2 is? It's not easy.
It's not the post office?
Nope.
It's
kind of creative. Some of it is.
A web designer? Graphic designer?
Nope. The reason I say
just give me one hint, or would it give it away?
It would kind of give it. It's stuff like carpenters, which is why I say it's creative. Miners, electricians, and construction trades is number 2. I think it's just because, once again, economics.
Yeah.
Number 3, I don't get this one at all. It's mechanics and those who do installation, maintenance, and repair.
That's weird.
Yeah. Number 4.
How do they come up with this? They're just like that. They find out what these people did for a living, or
yeah,
what?
Yeah. So the CDC does, they pull files for all kinds of like death reports and all that stuff. So if they tie it back to what the profession was, they can grab that number.
I'm going to guess, never mind. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. Say it. Musicians has to be on there.
That would go into artists in number 7.
But I'm going to say bass players.
No.
Hey, we both got it. We got to make light of it. I know it sucks.
Yeah.
But
we probably should have said that up top. It's better to laugh than just to bottle it in. But number 4 is factory and production workers.
Oh, great. That's me.
Yeah.
I'm creative and I work in a factory.
Yeah. So number 7. Let me say number 7 first because it'll help with this next one. Number 7 is artists, designers, entertainers, athletes, and media.
It's like everything.
Right. It's all the creative fields. But number 5 is another creative field that doesn't fall into those.
Graphic designer? Or was that in number 7? Movie director?
That would be, I think, an entertainer.
Oh my gosh.
It's number 5 is architects and engineers.
I can see that.
Yeah. Our dad's an engineer. Maybe we should ask him if he's okay.
We probably got it from him. Genetic. Thanks, Dad.
Number 6.
Mom said she gave me my OCD, she thinks.
Yeah.
Because she was like really OCD when she was pregnant with me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird. Number 6 is something that I thought would be higher on the list. What do you want to guess it is?
Post office.
No, these people do work for the state, though.
Lawyers?
Nope.
Sanitation department people?
No. Police, firefighters,
oh, yeah.
Corrections workers, and other in protective services. Number 7 was artists. Number 8, you've already said it was computer programmers, mathematicians, and statisticians. Number 9, you want to guess number 9? It's people who...
It's probably military.
No,
military
actually
has to be on that list.
Let me find military. Military is not on the top 20. That's weird.
That's very weird.
I will say that I came across another list, but it wasn't from the CDC. I'm going off the CDC's list that I think the military was on there. Number 9 is transportation workers. And then number 10 is, do you want to guess? It's the scummiest people I can think of besides politicians.
Lawyer?
No, other scummy.
Don't tell me.
Actually, lawyers is number 11.
Musicians?
No, it's corporate executives and managers, advertising, and public relations.
Didn't I say that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Here, I'll just run through the next like few. Doctors, dentists, and other healthcare professionals is 12. Scientists and lab technicians is 13. Accountants is number 14. Nursing, medical assistants, and healthcare support is number 15. Clergy, social workers, and other social service workers is 16. Number 17 is real estate agents.
What?
Telemarketers and sales. Telemarketers, I can understand, but real estate agents?
Yeah, dude.
Well, I guess the housing market would have had a huge effect on that.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's very strange.
Yeah. Number 18 is basically sanitation, building and ground cleaning and maintenance.
Oh, yeah. I got 2 on the list, I think.
Number
at least 1.
Number 19, I don't understand. It's cooks. Oh, food service workers. So I think about people at fast food. I can understand that. And then the last one on the list, number 20, is
child players. I shouldn't even joke.
I hope your band friends listen to this and just are seething at you.
Hi,
right,
Colton.
Love you, Colton. Number 20 is child care workers, barbers, animal trainers, personal care and service.
How do they lump all those into one?
I think it's because they have the same rate of suicide.
Oh.
I don't know.
I thought they were, like, making a comparison. Barbers, daycare workers.
Right, yeah. I don't understand that. I guess that must fall down on a lot of that is, like, the less necessity stuff. So when the economy goes into, like, a recession, people spend less money on that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then that's their jobs in jeopardy, which is that, what life was it, events. Life event factor.
Yeah. Cool. Last thing. If you're part of that 7% I talked about before, I feel like you should seek help. I feel like you've found ways to work with it in your life.
Yeah, I mean, I've had help, but...
Yeah, and some people are going to be able to work through it, but don't be afraid to seek help, people. It took me, like, probably 4 years before my then-girlfriend, now-wife, convinced me to go get medication for it.
Well, yeah, it's, like, still, like, taboo. That's what I don't understand.
Well, the problem with me is that I had a lot of anxiety. So that anxiety prevented me from seeking help. Uh-huh. It's a vicious cycle. Don't be, and a lot of people, like you said, you're not going to take pills, but a lot of people are like, oh, that's cheating or that's weak. I'm like, that's
not weak at all.
Do it.
I took pills and I didn't want to take them anymore. Yeah, it doesn't work for you. Well, I mean, by that point, I felt like I could handle it, you know? Yeah. And so that's why I took myself off of them. But
yeah,
I mean, that's definitely probably not the right answer for like 90% of people, you know?
Well, like I said before, some of it is chemical. So if you're going to take pills, it has to help the chemical side of depression. If it's not chemical, medication is going to help, but you should still seek out help. You deserve to be happy.
Yeah.
So go be happy.
Go be happy.
Perfect. As always, make sure to find us on Twitter at Stranger Still. Find us on Facebook. Just look for Stranger Still. And go...
You're playing footsie with me.
Go leave us a review.
People review the podcast.
Yeah.
They're like, that dude sucks on this week.
I'll let you know if anyone hates you.
Well, is it on Facebook?
No, it's on iTunes. So go leave us a review on iTunes.
Oh, yeah. I love iTunes reviews.
The newest review is from our dad. He said, very creative, funny, and thought-provoking. And the title is 5!
Wow. Our dad's so creative.
I know. I don't know. I don't think we got the creativity from our dad, but maybe we did.
We got the smarts.
Yeah.
Yeah, tons of it.
Dad was telling me the story of how he's going through his old office stuff, and he found this paper that he wrote back in college for when he was becoming an engineer, and he was reading through it, and he's like, I have no idea what was in that paper. I cannot understand what I was talking about in that paper. I've just forgotten all of it.
Oh, my gosh.
That was like 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So
I think the older I get, the harder it is to remember stuff, too.
Yeah.
I've always... Dude, I can, like, remember stuff from when I'm, like, 3 years old, but I can't remember anything from, like, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating.
I'm the opposite way. I can't remember anything that happened in my childhood.
It's so weird. I always made a point, though, when I was a kid, I was like... Oh, because I would ask Dad like things about when he was a kid, and he's like, "Wow, I don't remember." And so when I was a kid, I was like, "I'm gonna remember this for the rest of my life."
Yeah,
and so I would tell myself to remember it, and yeah. I still like remember this old weird stuff. Dude. Yeah,
I can see that in your son.
Yeah, I think he got that.
Yeah, he sees it all. He remembers everything.
I know, it's a blessing and a curse.
Well, do you want to tell people about your band?
Sure. I'm in a band called The Casual Affair. We're a hardcore, southerny hardcore band. It's like not death metal, but it's more groovy and mm-hmm. fun. And I also make films for Wolfpack Productions. Mm-hmm. And I focus mostly on making music videos. I mean, that's what I like to do.
Yeah. So if anyone in Iowa needs a music video,
hit me up. Wolfpack Productions.
On Casual Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And probably YouTube?
It's probably on everything.
Yeah.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vine.
Vine's not around anymore.
Dude, like as of today, I think.
Is it today?
Yeah, but we still got a Vine, so hit it up.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get to a listener question. We got a question from Nikki
I Minaj. Hope I said,
Nikki Minaj on our Facebook page.
What up, Nikki Minaj?
I'm going to say this last name wrong. It's Eminzade? Eminzade.
Let me see it. Nikki M&M's.
Nikki M&M's. She wanted to know what happens, or she wanted to know what's happening when our ears plug up when we are going up or down in elevation.
They're exploding.
Your ears are literally, it's like C4 in there.
Dude, I just know I'm supposed to chew gum.
Yeah. Well, that helps relieve the pressure. So what happens is, let's start basic. Our eardrums help us by receiving vibrations in the air around us.
Good vibration.
I can't recover from that. But it picks up on sound waves and translates it to our brain. And there's this little pocket of air in our ear that helps.
The Beats by Dre. You told me I wasn't interrupting you. Now I'm just going to do it. That's the rest of this question.
All jokes.
This girl that's listening is going to be like, oh my God, you're so annoying.
Just get to the answer. But there's this little pocket of air inside of your ear that helps with your hearing. And as you ascend or descend in altitude, I always feel this when I go into the deep end of a pool. Some people feel it more when you go on an airplane. What's happening is the air pressure outside of your ear can be lower or higher than that pocket of air inside your ear. So when the pressure is different, it starts to push on your eardrum. And that's when you feel that Ouch. Pain or it plugs up.
Can it like actually explode?
I don't believe so. I think your eardrums can rupture, but it's not going to like...
Well, what would happen if you were like at the bottom of the ocean and your submarine wasn't pressurized right?
Yeah, you would explode.
It would crush you.
That's where explosive explode you. Yeah, that's explosive decompression.
Okay, so your ears can explode. I didn't make that up.
I guess you're right. It's the same thing as on a spaceship. If you go on outside of a spaceship without your space suit, you explode or implode, depending on which way the pressure's going. Yep.
In the movies, they just get sucked out.
Well, that's the same thing as explosive decompression.
I just watched Star Trek and they didn't explode.
That's a movie. Did J.J. Abrams do the third one?
No, but it's the bomb.
It is?
Yeah, okay. It's so much fun.
Who did it?
Justin Lin. He did the Fast and Furious 3 through 6.
Really? Wow.
And
did they go Fast and Furious in the Star Trek?
Yeah. They pull off a couple heists.
Yeah.
Yeah,
did they do street space racing?
I don't think so. Dude, there was a scene with a motorcycle, though, where he's like trying to take out the bad guys on his motorcycle. It was pretty dope.
Huh. I still have to check it out.
Dude, you'll like it.
I bet I will. I'll check it out. So anyway, to equalize the pressure and relieve that pain, there's this small tube inside of our ear that acts as like, in the movies, there's always that decompression chamber.
Where, oh, like, that's what it's for? Just your ears?
Yeah.
It's that whole chamber for your ears?
Yeah.
That's lame.
There's that chamber inside of your ears, though, that acts as a midway between the two pressures. So when the pressure equalizes, that's when you feel that pop.
That's pretty neat.
Sometimes your ears don't do it automatically, which is why you're told to like chew gum or just move your jaw. It loosens up that tube. And
dude, when we flew to Florida last year, my ears were plugged up for like 2 days.
Yeah.
I have sensitive ears, I think.
It helps you with the music.
Dude, I like couldn't even see either. It was weird.
Really?
Yeah.
It messed with you that bad?
Yeah. My whole head was like, it almost exploded.
That's gross.
Would have been pretty nasty.
Well, that's all I got.
That's all I got, too.
Cool. I'm still Nick.
I'm still Drew.
He caught on to that quick. And this has been Stranger Still.
See ya.